Welcome to the Sermon Podcast for All Saints Lutheran Church. I am Matthew Reese, the Director of Music Ministries. All Saints is located in Davenport, Iowa, and is a member congregation of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Each week we bring you a recording of the gospel lesson and sermon. Thank you for joining us on this journey of faith.
We will now have a reading of the gospel according to Mark, beginning in the first chapter at the 9th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the river Jordan. And just as he was coming out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And he heard a voice from heaven say, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, and there he proclaimed the good news of God and said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, at All Saints Lutheran Church, we have a Bible study each week, and you are invited to participate in that Bible study via Zoom. Last week, we read over the lessons for this Sunday, and I got to tell you, they were something else to read. Trying to figure them out and get it all straight and understand exactly what was going on turned out to be a bit of a challenge. But what we realize is on this first Sunday in Lent is that the text thrust us right into a wilderness. And we need to think this morning about what that wilderness means to each of us. To start, there's the story of God's promise to Noah after the great flood. This is a beautiful passage of hope and promise, and what church nursery does not have a mural or painting of the animals lining up two by two to go up into the ark? But in this passage, one cannot read it without the specter of that gigantic flood hanging over the passage. And speaking of those specters, how about the epistle for this Sunday? Here we read Jesus is preaching to spirits in prison from Noah's day, a state when no one is quite sure how we explain that. And of course, from Mark's gospel, we read the baptism of Jesus with the sky torn open, a heavenly voice, and then the Spirit driving Jesus out into the wilderness. Well, where do we go with all of this? The story of Noah and the great flood, has many eyebrow-raising elements to it, not the least of which is God and the destruction of humanity. Whether or not the story is entirely a metaphor or has some historical roots, well, the fact remains that the story includes a whole lot of people who end up dying. Perhaps it's an anachronistic sensibility from our position in the 21st century, but it does seem a little unlikely that every single human being would have done something deserving death. In today's reading, we see the covenant with God. We see that God has set the rainbow in the heavens as a promise that he will not flood the entire earth again. But that still doesn't answer a very basic question: why all of those people died to begin with. How are we to make sense of this bit of hopeful promise without acknowledging and understanding the rest of the story? So we then turn to the New Testament with hope that maybe there's a little guidance there for us. And we have a reading from 1 Peter. And there is little clarity gained there either. Instead, there's a reference to Jesus preaching to spirits imprisoned from Noah's day. Jesus went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison who in former times did not obey when God patiently waited in the 40 days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were saved through water. End of quote. The commentaries aren't always very helpful in providing additional understanding for us. When you sort through it, there are 3 main schools of thought when it comes to who the spirits Jesus is preaching to may be. The first theory is that Jesus descended to the underworld to preach to the souls of those who died in the flood. And this, of course, would imply there were souls stuck in some kind of limbo awaiting the birth and death of Jesus. And then there's a second school of thought, and that is that Jesus preached to Noah's contemporaries through Noah himself. The thinking here goes that the Holy Spirit filled Noah and used him to preach Jesus' message to his living contemporaries. And still other biblical scholars speculate that the spirits in prison are fallen angels associated with the wickedness run rampant before the great flood. Each of these theories has its own subdivisions of interpretation and then a resulting implication. Now, it may seem that first Peter reading has only added to our confusion. But fortunately for us, we have Mark's gospel to turn to. The text for the day begins with Jesus being baptized by John. The heavens are torn apart, and a voice from heaven proclaims, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." So here's a baptism account that is fairly straightforward. "You are my son, the beloved." It's a passage that talks about our identity as Christians. It's a passage that showcases what theologians and philosophers call ontology. And by that, it's the nature of Jesus' being that we're dealing with here. This is where Mark starts his story. We don't hear about the babe in Bethlehem and all of the other elements to that story of the birth of Jesus. Instead, he goes right to this baptism to begin his story, his understanding of who Jesus is. Before the temptation in the wilderness, before healings, before miracles or preaching, Mark starts with a proclamation of the identity of Jesus as the Son of God and as his beloved. And so with this, we can begin to look backwards in a way at our texts. And what we see is that First Peter passage in a new light. Whichever way we choose to identify the mysterious spirits in a prison, the primary purpose of this passage is to point to Jesus' identity, that he is the one who suffered for us. And Jesus is the one who has triumphed and now sits at the right hand of God. So what does this mean in terms of baptism? It's interesting that the author of the epistle chooses to bring the story of Noah and the flood as a way of thinking about baptism. It's sort of a backward look. The flood, by any account, was a disaster, whether you read it as a literary metaphor or whether it's based on some scientific event. The great flood was a devastating tragedy. Baptism, well, it's a look backward. It's a turning away, it's a turning towards suffering, towards devastation, and even towards death. It's a look backward at the wilderness that we all have come from, not just individually, but as a church, collectively. a humanity, as a culture, as a religion, we have come from a pretty wild place. We've suffered and we've caused suffering. While the analogy of the flood is a look forward, there's a look backward, it's also a look forward to hope. There's a fundamental shift in humanity after the flood. There's a big change there. These are people who have been saved. These are people who are beloved. No matter who they are or where they go from there, the fundamental part of their identity remains that they are people who have been rescued, who have been saved. Baptism, according to 1 Peter, is not a removal of dirt from the body. No, in fact, it's a sign of a change of identity. That's the term we keep hearing again and again today. It's a sign that we are rescued, that we are cleaned, and that we, too, are made new. We are the beloved Jesus speaks about. We may not understand the suffering that has occurred before us. We may never know why the why behind that flood or who are those spirits in the prison. But whichever way we read these passages, there's two points that keep coming across to us as clear as day. One, Christ is with us, and two, Christ is for us. The fundamental message from our text today is summed up in this prayer, which reads, "Let each one find you mighty to save through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord." Jesus is mighty to save. And taking that one step further, Jesus is mighty to save each and every one of us. He's mighty to save you and me. Remember what the psalmist wrote, "God is the God of my salvation." The God who is God of the waters and the mighty flood waters descended into the depths and fullness of human suffering. And he did that for us. Now we find, today we find our identity in Christ. No matter the pain we've experienced in the past, no matter the pain we're experiencing today, or even what we will experience, Christ has been there for us. And he will be there. And thus, as we enter into this Lenten season, well, we can look around us and certainly see a wilderness. We may think of that wilderness as the pandemic or the weather or anything else going on that's really negative and destroying. We see the wilderness we've come through, the tough things we've had to deal with in the past. And we know that, hey, the future won't be perfect. There will be times when we struggle there too. And that's a wilderness for us. But through all of it, our past wilderness, the present, and the future, we hold on to one thing. And that is the identity we have in Jesus Christ. The identity of God's beloved that is ever with us to remind us of his saving grace. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. It is our prayer that this podcast is a blessing to you on your journey. For more information about All Saints, please visit us online at allsaintsdavenport.org. May God bless you this week and always.